following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Doug.
I'm Boar.
I'm Brandon.
And this is the show where we talk about all that stuff. Every other week, we come at you with the latest pop culture happenings, and then every week in between, it's usually some more specific conversations. Last time, we talked about the 15th anniversary of 8-Bit Theater, with creator Brian Clevenger, who's also a co-founder of this very network. And next week, I'm going to be talking with Mark with a C, whose new album, Unicorns Get More Bacon, is out now. And, man, there's been all kinds of shit happening. I think last time we got together, we talked about X-Files, which hadn't released its final episode yet. And if we had seen that episode, it would have been a different conversation because it was a crippling disappointment.
Yeah.
Chris Carter, George Lucas himself.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
I would go exactly that far. It was awful.
I haven't seen any of the new season, but I'm okay with spoilers. So,
well, to be honest, spoiling the ending really just says, and then they go and they're about to, like, something big is, like, about to happen, but you're not really quite sure what, and then it cuts to credits.
Okay,
and
you're it's not really the end. It's like a cliffhanger left open for a new season.
It is a complete cliffhanger.
Is the whole final episode a waste of time?
Pretty much.
Well, the final episode is a story that they could have stretched over their 6-episode micro season that they had. The entire story is compressed into a single hour with terrible narrative contrivances, characters they recently introduced that you don't care about, and then it's a story that's kind of like out of nowhere. Like, Chris Carter allegedly, you know, wrote a script for a third X-Files movie and was going to wrap up, you know, his big myth arc, and instead just is diddling fans, like, woo, look at all this stuff I've got. I got all these plans, except he doesn't. It's like he's making it up as he goes along, which would be fine if he admitted that, but he's been like, I'm a master planner of this huge continuity. I mean, I know there's obviously been things throughout the continuity that they've kind of made up, like, Scully has a baby now. Well, we don't even know how we're going to resolve that, but we'll end the season with that. That happened.
Right, right.
But, you know.
Like, well, the first episode, there's like these bookends. Like, everything gets introduced in the first episode of the season. You kind of forget about all of it. And then the last episode is, like, part two. It's even called, like, it's like My Struggle Part Two.
Yeah.
Which, is that supposed to be a reference to Mein Kampf?
You know, I forget. Chris Carter, there's something called My Struggle. There's something else called Mein Kampf. You're right.
Is that German for My Struggle?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know German, guys. Sorry. I don't know.
I read it. I read what his
thing. You read Mein Kampf?
No. I read an interview with Chris Carter. It's in German. How would I read that?
There's translations.
I'm sure there's translations. But there's an interview with Chris Carter. He mentioned where it came from. I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't Hitler. But it may as well be, because it's a big crock of shit. Hitler was a very successful dictator, but a piece of shit.
Unlike Hitler, this was a crock of shit.
Did you just compare Carter to Hitler?
Lucas, well, Hitler,
I can fairly compare him to George Lucas, because I feel he shit all over his own baby. But I can't compare him to Hitler, because Hitler, for all of his failings as a human being, was really good at the awful things he did.
Wow.
So
he's really good at the awful things he did?
I hope no one listening is offended to that.
Did he not succeed in many terrible, terrible things that he set out to do?
He succeeded in terrible things, but ultimately he lost.
Ultimately, thank God he did.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you be a successfully shitty person? Is that...
Yeah. Yeah, you can, Boar.
If that's what you set out to do, if you set out to be a shitty person, you can successfully be a shitty person. But if you're being a shitty person and your goal is to be a nice person, then you're failing.
Well, yeah, you're failing at being a person.
Yeah.
Being an actual person.
In other news, Muppets completely turned around. They had a...
Better or worse?
Better.
Because you were on the fence for a while.
I was on the fence for a while. Yeah, and after the mid-season break, they got a new creative head of the show. New showrunner, and
were they making, like, was Pache sort of like the thing that was personifying that change?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a character. They introduced a character called Pache, who spelled P-I-Z-Z-A.
no, please, what? Wait, no, that's pizza, and you're lying to me.
No, that was a Brandon joke.
Is that actually a joke in
yes,
the show?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes,
Pache, and it's pizza.
It's
is he Italian?
No.
All right, whatever.
And he comes in as this like network heel to try to fix the show because the ratings aren't great.
His name's Pizza. What the fuck? All right.
No, his name's Pache. Get it right.
Yeah.
And this is a Muppet. This is like a...
No, it's
no,
a human.
He was oh, just
it's
a human.
Okay, okay.
Formerly, all of the guest stars, the human guest stars, it was the usual thing of like, oh, hey, it's so-and-so. Let me blow you for a while. Oh, we'll blow each other.
yeah, the Muppets.
Were we watching the same show?
This is an awesome show.
All the involvement between the humans and the Muppets was really just masturbatory and weird.
Show.
Not literally, yes.
When you say like, oh, you know, like previously when the Muppets had celebrities on.
Know,
I mean,
Fozzie
like,
Bear did date a woman, so
right, but that's earlier on the show. When Cap was like,
that's illegal.
Celebrities on the show. Like, that's every episode of Muppet Show. But you're talking about the new Muppet Show.
The new Muppet Show. The theme of tonight's episode is Cap will say something that is a sweeping, generalizing, weird statement that then gets blown up in his face. I think that's what we're going for here. Anyway, the new show got better. They did away with a story arc I actually liked, because the only thing that they had going for themselves before was that they broke up Kermit and Miss Piggy and had a new pig named Denise, who was working at the office She was working also for the network. And the love triangle thing of Kermit with his new relationship, who he really cares about, but then his feelings for Miss Piggy as a friend who's an ex who's also a coworker, it was really well handled. It actually made me cry at times. And
grown man crying at the Muppets.
And then they immediately, as soon as the new showrunner came in, got rid of the whole thing. Because,
like they get rid of they got rid of the character of Denise, or
yeah, they did.
Did she get hit by a truck? Like
no,
they killed
I mean,
her
like,
off.
Like she and Kermit were taking some time off, and then things between Kermit and Miss Piggy got kind of edgy again.
Yeah, I think all there's been is like a phone call since then of her.
Yeah. It's like she's gone. Like that whole plot is wiped. And it was a shame because I thought that was actually really well handled. But fan response was like, no, they're together. And oh my God. And the one problem with the show is that they're reuniting relationships. Like, they actually made a point. The former creative director made a point of getting rid of, things like, talking chickens. So, Camilla.
Wait, what?
Camilla, Gonzo's girlfriend, was nowhere to be seen. But now all of a sudden she's back in the picture, whereas there was a great episode of him lamenting her not being around, but then they get back together immediately. So all the Muppet relationships...
So there's no consistency is what you're saying.
But all the Muppet relationships are all of a sudden back together. That's the bad part, but the consistency of the overall show, it's getting funnier, it's getting sharper, it's good, but it's not renewed for a second season yet, and I really hope it is.
See, if they were going old school, they would have had Gonzo pining after Miss Piggy, and it wouldn't have been like that Kermit and her would have been in a relationship.
Was that ever a thing?
Yeah, yeah. In the original show, Gonzo was love with Miss Piggy, and he was always like, her biggest fan.
But then Camilla entered the picture.
Right, you know? But then also fucking Kermit and Miss Piggy got married. So is that continuity, you know? Is that canon?
No.
Why does no one date...
Fozzie?
Well, I was gonna say Oscar the Grouch, but that's a different show. I was like, why doesn't Kermit get with Oscar? But no, it's the wrong show.
Why does Kermit get with Oscar?
Are you like jumping into your trash pile?
There were crossovers though, because I mean Kermit used to go
on Sesame,
Sesame Street.
He was the correspondent, news correspondent.
I heard that once. I've never seen it, but
yeah, he did. Yeah. He was a good correspondent.
Well, Sesame you know, Kermit and Oscar are probably pretty good friends because you know, Oscar attracts a lot of flies, and so that's obviously Kermit's primary food source.
And Kermit always says it's not easy being green.
Oscar knows that better than most.
He can relate.
Yeah.
He actually couldn't rise above that, which is why he lives in a trash can.
And Oscar did appear in the Great Muppet Caper, so there you go.
Okay, I didn't know any of this. Okay.
But there's no continuity at all, seemingly. But it's great. It's so much better than the movies, and it's improved so much. I really genuinely enjoy watching the show now, and wasn't just like my morbid Muppet curiosity being fulfilled. It's actually something I look forward to. So I hope it comes back. And that's a random abrupt TV rants that we decided to start the episode with. So. Okay. What else is going on, guys?
Just sitting at this table, chilling. honestly,
that's what's happening now.
You mean before I came here?
Yeah.
I ate some cool donuts. No, literally, all I've been doing is either working, saving bird lives, because you know I'm better than most people, so I save lives.
Right. I mean, we make a joke about your familiarity with ornithology on the show a lot, but maybe
I'm not an expert. I know some of it. I don't
compared
know
to the rest of us. You are
names.
I mean, people might not realize that you work for a birds of prey sanctuary and that you regularly operate on birds to some degree.
Rehabilitate, I'd imagine.
When I operate on birds, I will say that they're no longer alive, not because of me. You know, sometimes a bird will die because
you
we
do
don't,
bird
we
autopsies.
Don't know. They're called a necropsy. Autopsy is only when you do it on a human. It's like autobiography.
Oh. See, he's dropping knowledge, man.
I didn't know that. I kept saying, like, they're like, oh, would you like to do this necropsy? And I was like, on a bird. And I was like, we don't know how
to do it. As long as it's not an autopsy,
so get
I'm
in
fine.
There and fool around.
Wait,
and
so even alien autopsies, that's not a real thing?
It's not
I guess that'd be
called
necropsy.
An autopsy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's literally if you're doing it on another species.
You mean that video was fake?
Yeah.
That video wasn't telling me the truth?
It was a human, after all.
Because the base word
says in the title.
But no, you know, I'll do necropsies on birds sometimes. Whatever, no biggie.
So you light some candles and...
I light some candles. I do a seance. I draw a pentagram. I get three girls. Lies a feather, stiff as a board, and then we cut open a bird. we have a good time. I'll cut open a bird. I'll be like, oh, did his organs are shot. He's, you know, literally shot with a pellet.
Now,
that's
when
why
you
he died.
You do this to figure out how a bird died?
Sometimes. If we use an x-ray or some sort of MRI or something and we can't figure out how he died, suddenly you'll be like, well, did he bleed internally until he, you know, hemorrhaged? You know,
but that is
like
the goal of the necropsy.
Yeah, to find out specifically why.
Okay.
So, and on bald eagles, they have to figure it out because there's a federal program to know, like, why every bald eagle
so
has
you
died,
find a right? bullet in a bald eagle, you got to match to the gun in CSI Miami. That
you're
shit.
Like a you're like
I
a
don't
bird
do that.
Sherlock.
But when we find a bird that has a bullet in it, you know, we do call the police, and they all come from Polk County. So if anyone from Polk County is listening, eat a dick.
Stop shooting birds.
Stop shooting birds. You could shoot other people because there's plenty of those. Shoot a fucking cat or dog. There's a million of those.
Whoa.
Yeah, seriously.
I guess
the views of Brandon Garrison do not represent the views of the Nerdy Show podcast.
Well, of course not.
If you shoot a bird, have the decency to eat it. I guess really.
So I'm okay with that. If you're going to eat the bird, yeah, but just don't shoot it and leave it. Yeah, whatever. Eat that bullet. Other than that, I've been playing some video games.
What have you been playing?
Some disappointing stuff.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, there were two games that I've been kind of like waiting for. They're kind of just independent games. I mentioned them a few times. Unravel.
Right.
And Firewatch. And basically, I was
Firewatch
like...
Firewatch is out.
I was,
wow.
I was well, looking forward out. To Firewatch.
Well, it got good reviews and everything, and I was like, oh man, these games look really great. I can't wait. And I usually like independent games because they're different. They're right. more experimental. Right. They're willing to take risks, and they're small production, so they use what they can to be more creative. I don't really like either of them, and I don't think they're worth the money.
Okay, so Unravel is a side-scroller game where you play a little yarn person, and you're trailing some yarn behind you.
Okay, so yeah. Unravel, the game mechanics are pretty tight. You know, there's really good physics, and like I said, the game mechanics. So you're this little tiny yarn puppet, and it's a side-scroller, and you figure out puzzles along the way. And the more you move, the more yarn you use up until you're like this scrawny thing and you can't move anymore. And each level is more difficult, more challenging. You know, there's like crabs will try to kill you, or there's like pits, and you can use your yarn to make like bungee cords and climb up things and make trampolines and eventually
it's
run
kind
out
of
yarn.
Photorealistic looking.
Yeah, it looks like you're in like almost like real areas. The problem I had with this game was not the gameplay itself. It was the story that made me want to throw up dicks, and not not the good kind of
you
dicks that you throw
dicks
up.
First.
Yeah, so you throw up dicks when I played this game. So I don't know how to explain it other than that the main story opens up with an old woman, a really detailed old woman, sitting at a table being depressed, and she walks up some stairs past a bunch of photos of like real people, and then you begin your journey as a little puppet just suddenly. And you go through her house, and there's picture frames of different things, and each one is a different level. And it's, like, really sappy, and the game's supposed to show, like, past connections to everything. And basically, when I'm playing, you're playing a level trying to collect things to basically scrapbook. You're scrapbooking memories for this old, pathetic lady who's depressed, and you'll walk by, like, you'll be on the level where there's, like, a beach, and you're you know, going by, and you'll see, like, two actual pictures of, like, children digging in the sand, smiling, and I'm just like, I want to throw up. So
it sounds like you're saying that you feel like the mechanic was really good.
Solid gameplay,
but they
yeah.
just tried to shoehorn in a sappy story
if you like
just
that
to make
sort
it an
of thing,
indie game.
I can't tell if it's just too saccharine for Brandon.
Oh, I know. It's totally my opinion. I just, when I see children
maybe
smiling.
Maybe it's actually touching.
Maybe. No, I'm sure it's touching for normal people. I'm sure it touches you in ways that watching photos of children are supposed to touch you. But when I play this game, and every time I walk by a certain point, and there's like a person smiling, and it's like a past memory of like children having fun, I'm just like, blah, throw up. So I couldn't get past it, and I haven't played the game since.
Well, what about Firewatch? That game looked amazing.
That's even worse.
Really?
It was
I thought it looked super boring.
The trailer that it showed was this.
First off, it is.
Okay.
It's like an isolationist in the wilderness, let me explain
a little bit. Firewatch is a game that's $20 for 3 to 5 hours of gameplay.
Okay.
Which right there is a fucking absurd. I'm not paying $20 to play a game with no replay value for 5 hours. Unless it's amazing. Secondly, the first like 20 to 30 minutes are all text choose your own adventure things, where you'll choose certain options and you're given the illusion of choice. And there's no real choices in the game. It's all fake. So basically, here, let me have an example. It'll be like, you meet this lady, you know, and you guys eventually get married. And one of the options is like, do you get this really cute puppy? Or do you get this really buff attack dog? She likes the puppy, but you like the dog. But if you get the big attack dog, you know, it might stop muggers or something later on. And then I'm like, oh, I'll do the cute puppy because I'm doing it for my lady. She wants a cute puppy. What the fuck I need a big scary attack dog for? And then you get the cute puppy, and she gets mugged anyway. And then there's other decisions where, like,
Wait, hold on.
That doesn't sound like the illusion of choice. It sounds like your choice actually made a difference.
Because it has nothing to do with the main story. This is just the beginning. No matter what choices you pick, it ends the same. There's no different ending result.
Okay.
And like I said, this is just the beginning where it's like, do this option or this option. And then the next two sentences.
You're making it seem like it had absolutely no bearing on anything at all. Like, oh, I picked the puppy and she still got mugged.
Well, it doesn't because it only affects the next two sentences literally. And that's it.
I gotcha.
And then the next part will be like, and all the choices are terrible things too. There's no like good or bad choices. You're a horrible person in this game. So she'll be like, it'll say, and yeah, this is still like just all text dialogue at the beginning. And while you're like, you're walking through the woods and it keeps going to weird text about your life and how you got here. And one's like, she gets the job of her dreams, but she has to move away. So do you convince her to commute really far all the time because you don't want her to go? Or do you convince her to not take her dream job? There is no option of like going with her or anything.
This sounds super mundane.
Yeah. And then by the time you get to the end of this story, she has early onset dementia. You put her in a home and you run away from life to take a job looking for fires in the woods.
I see how you say it really doesn't matter then.
Yeah. It's like no matter what you choose.
You build the story of your life. We already know that you're here in the woods now, yeah, and that's what matters.
That's essentially the game.
The backstory doesn't really matter. You could just whatever. Fuck it. No, I understand what you're saying.
Even the choices when you're actually playing the game don't matter. For instance, you know, the point is to prevent fires, and like
is it a visual novel or is it an actual game?
No, it's an actual game. That was just the beginning. The rest of it is you basically that's how you got to where you are now, where you join this I want to say patrol, where you sign up for a job like to watch for fires in a forest.
Yeah.
It's completely in the middle of nowhere. You get there and there's a walkie-talkie and your boss, who is a girl or a lady's on there, and I feel like there's going to be some romantic interest in there, and there kind of is. Anyway, and she just tells you orders over that and you do them, and you basically stumble upon two kids and then they went missing, and the rest of the game you're kind of figuring out what happened to them. And any choice you have, I stopped playing at that point, like a little bit after, because it was so boring and the story was so like meh that I didn't care. So another independent game that I just completely stopped
so
playing.
So you didn't finish it?
No.
Because I heard the reviews
say... I read a bunch of different things.
Like when you get to the end, it's like, oh shit! Not like a big twist, but rather like it picks up.
Well,
and like
if
really...
I played another 2 hours, I would have beaten it. But I also read things like there are certain choices where like the whole game is an illusion of choice, and they did that on purpose, but I don't like that because, for instance, there's a part for the story to progress that this like campsite or whatever has to be like lit on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a choice. Like you get to there, and there's some event happens, and it says like, you can burn this camp or whatever, or not. And if you choose not to, because you don't want to, and you want to be a decent human being or whatever, it happens anyway, because it needs to progress the story. Right. So no matter what you do, the same events are going to happen at the end. There's that operator lady who's your boss that you're talking to on a walkie. If you tell her at a certain point, like, wait for me here for this thing that's going to happen, she doesn't. You tell her to do something else, like, oh, call the cops when these... Like, you make a solid choice, like, call the cops when these kids are missing. She doesn't. Like, it doesn't matter what you choose. It follows a set path regardless. And that really bugged me. And I, like, well, that was one of the reasons I stopped. And it was really boring. And I know it got really good reviews, and I don't know why. Once again, maybe it was just me.
And these are all just text choices, too. Like,
no, well, they're dialogue options that pop up almost like a Mass Effect box that'll appear like, do this or do that. But like I said, it's an illusion of choice, and nothing really changes because of it.
Sounds
kind
like
of like the
novel.
Ending of Mass Effect, no matter what you do, the one thing, it's literally that, the whole game. So I was really disappointed because I was like really excited for these independent games because they're usually really cool.
Yeah, I thought Firewatch like was awesome.
Broforce came out for free on PS4,
yeah.
If you're a PlayStation Plus user. That game's amazing. I love it. It's the Expendables the game, pretty much, which is what it is.
And if you haven't witnessed Broforce, it's this insane pixel shooter. We did a video with the creators of it at E3 2 years ago and had a lot of fun. You should definitely check out the video. There were some push-ups and some...
I can't really tell. I forget if they just, like, if they're kind of making fun of America, but that's okay.
Because they're not American.
Yeah, at all, any of them. But so it was really funny. It was like, oh, yeah, Americans and take over everything by force. I'm like, yeah! But the game Broforce, if you haven't played it, it's like a side-scrolling, you know, run-and-gun kind of game where you play all the greatest action heroes, and they change the names, even though they're exactly that character. Like, Rambo is Rambro. You know, Terminator is Brominator. Indiana Brones. RoboCop is my personal favorite.
It's a good naming convention.
And Bronan the Brobarian.
Abraham Lincoln?
He's not in it. But that would be great. Damn. So would Casey Brones, but he's not in it, too.
That would be, man. Yeah. Man.
There's Ripley from Aliens. There's a bro version. I think it's called, like, Bro Ripley. Like, seriously. And it's a really buff dude.
Why not just Ripley?
I don't know. I think I wrote it down. There's so many. It's like Ellen Ripro, but okay. Or something. But it has literally her haircut. And, like, the jumpsuit, and it's just on a big buff guy.
Are you sure it's a buff guy? Are you sure it's a super buff lady?
You know what? Could be. You're right. MacGyver's in it, McBrover, and he uses bubblegum to climb walls and throws dynamite. And you can throw a giant turkey that attracts, you know, people and then blow them up. Anyway, it's a really fun game. And I'm not dissing the indie games because I'm like, oh, these have a story. Lame. I didn't like the story. And it was like watching The Notebook.
Well, if you're being railroaded, you know, then it's like just, not a game.
And,
you know?
And it's just that I couldn't get behind either stories for either game. And it didn't grab my attention, and that's why I haven't played them since. I have them. I will play them eventually, but I haven't gone back to them.
Well, I finally managed to pull myself away from Fallout 4 long enough to turn on my Steam Link for the first time and get some of the PC games that had been warming my computer but not my gameplay time.
Welcome to having Steam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I my computer is my workspace, so I can't really game there. I want to game on the couch. So I got the Steam Link. I got the Steam controller. And so far, so good. I'm having a great time. And I haven't finished it yet, but I have started Undertale, which I'm really was really excited to play because it got incredible reviews. It was the biggest indie game of last year. And
yeah, I saw that game, and it looks incredible.
The guy, Toby Fox, who made it, I mean, I met him at Camp Fangamer, the Earthbound convention last year. So there's a definite connection between the comedic stylings of Earthbound and the strange nature of Undertale. Brandon, what did you think of the moment you saw this game?
I have no idea what the hell's going on in that game, but it's hilarious. You'll be fighting dogs, and your attack options are like roll in the sand or roll in the dirt. And then if you do it successfully with a minigame to dodge their attacks, they go, "You smell like a puppy. What's happening? There's a puppy here now." And then you have new options, like pet them. And they're like, "We're being pet by a puppy." And this is how you, like, a normal turn-based attack happens. And you can choose to either, like, kill them or spare them. And I have no idea it's the most confusing thing I've ever seen,
and
but it's amazing.
The game changes based on who you actually fight and kill, because there's so many unique characters and they can all die.
Is it true? So you can play the whole game without actually killing anything?
Yes.
Yeah. It's okay. From what few minutes I saw you play, it's the most constructively counterintuitive game I've ever seen.
It has the weirdest puzzles too.
Like that's the only way I could describe that, where it's like, you know what? It wants me to do this. I'm going to do the opposite. And it's like, congratulations, move on. It's all right. Playing the game.
Boar, you've played it as well, right?
Yeah, I've played it a little while, but I wasn't too huge of a fan of it. Like, I think I actually played it for maybe like 5 or 6 hours. Just because everybody was telling me that it was amazing, and I kind of kept waiting for it to happen, and I guess it just doesn't push the right buttons with me. But
I can definitely understand why from what I saw.
You need a specific sense of humor, Boar.
Yeah,
which you obviously don't.
I don't think I have.
Did you like Earthbound? Did you play Earthbound?
No.
It's probably where it stems.
Well, I didn't play Earthbound, so I have no idea if I would like that.
You probably won't like Earthbound then. Yeah, don't.
Probably not.
You should play it anyway.
But as I was telling Cap, if you do certain things in the game, like reload saves, the game will mess with you in certain ways.
Wait, so. Will it?
Yeah, apparently there's some characters whose death can happen accidentally or on purpose. And
like main characters?
Prominent characters. And if you go back to a previous save to try to like be like, oh man, didn't want that to happen, other characters may comment on, like,
your save loading and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it like Mr. Rossetti from Animal Crossing?
Kind of, but it doesn't really punish you. It just kind of knows that you've done a thing.
It would be great if you loaded a previous save to, like, save a character and it goes, oh, well, guess what? We killed another one. So, thank you.
That's your punishment.
And maybe that will happen later. I don't know how far you are.
It would be a pretty meta game. It's just like, oh, I want to go back and save that person. It's like, congrats, you saved this person. But to give a life, we must take a life. It's just like, it's another person. One person must die.
You don't know that won't happen.
I have also heard that later in the game, it will mess with you even worse, like outside of the game.
I'm not gonna on and off. It calls you. Oh, shit, it calls you. Sorry.
No, but it might seem like the game was off when it's not, stuff like that.
It's taking pictures of you using your monitor.
Cool.
It's not anything that weird, but I'm not going to spoil anything.
Is it a Kojima game?
I have been lightly spoiled on
Hideo
later.
Vision.
I'm loving the experience so far, so I cannot wait to see what that means.
Yeah, I saw you play for 5 minutes, and I'm already more interested in playing
that. Tony's the one that bought me the game.
Really?
Because he said I have to play it, and then I feel kind of bad that I don't really like it. But I warned him. I was like, I don't think I'm going to like this.
You did tell it to him straight.
Did he buy it for you? Like, as a way, like, no, I'm buying this for you, because I'm that
He's
sure.
Like, yes. He was like, no, you have to play it.
Oh, well, you know.
Mm. It's not always right.
Whenever you gamble, my friend, sometimes you lose.
Doug, you haven't had a chance to play many video games lately, except when you come over here and play Fallout 4, but that's sort of changed for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, I'm moved into Orlando now, and my roommate now has a Xbox One, so I have access to something newer than a PS2. So... So I'm playing these like, oh, this is like the future. There's a Kinect and I'm moving things. And it's been exciting. And I've been playing a bunch of games like just like that I've never even heard of. And I started a profile. And I started playing Kinect Sports Rivals, which I know is like a couple years old at this point, but it's new to me. And I'm going through and...
Is it like Wii Sports only for Microsoft?
It's not... a traditional, like, boring sports game. The Kinect Sports Rivals is like, okay, we're going to make a cartoon version of you, and it scans your face, and the Kinect, you move up, down, left, you know, it scans your face, and then it scans your body, and it makes a cartoony, you know, character of you. And then that's your avatar in the game. You can make it look however you want, though, but I kept it like me, so when I... you can challenge friends on Xbox Live. So, like, I have, like, my roommate, and I made my wife Nina make one, so now I can challenge them, and I'll do these crazy events, like the water, like the jet skiing, or climbing, or bowling and stuff, and I'll do whatever, and you can challenge them, and then when they start to play, the avatar that you made, it, like, saves your skill level. So when they play, whenever they end up playing,
Sort of like they're playing with you.
Yeah, but you could play live in the same room if you're there. But if you're like, you know, on a different system or something, you can do it, you know, separately.
So could you
like
get
that.
A professional bowler and then like have them do it in with your avatar really well and then save that? And when someone plays against you,
In theory, you could, but you'd only be doing a disservice to yourself because unless you were going to have the professional bowler be there all the time to bowl for you when you so like let's
just
say you did
a really good day.
Yeah, like let's say you did that. You had a professional bowler bowl really well and then it beat like all your friends on Xbox Live at bowling. Now you're like, "All right, great. Thanks. You beat all my friends. I got the points. Now it's time for me to continue playing." The bowling that you're going to be against is so fucking hard in order to meet the professional level cuz everyone raises, you know, all the
There's
bots
just 10
raise
pins.
To your level.
Oh, the other players.
The yeah, the, okay. the yeah, the normal bots when you're not playing actual people will raise up to your level of skill.
I can't even imagine miming bowling. Like, it was hard enough with the Wii.
It's actually really easy. Like,
does it even get the rotation of your wrist?
Well, at least
everything?
With the Wiimote, you have a button to, like, let go. You
right.
Know?
Now, that is helpful. But the bowling on this is, like, you can put spins on it. The trick to learning how to play this game is don't go for what you would do in the real world. Go for what you do in this cartoon world. So it's, like, it's sort of
so it's
cartoony
not
physics.
Realistic. Got it.
No. But the reason why I keep playing it is, well, one, it's fun to see my avatar just beat the shit out of, like, all the like, when you're climbing, I'm climbing, and I'll be like, oh, my wife's avatar is up there, and my roommate's avatar is up there. I'll be climbing, and it's like, oh, shit, they're passing me. I gotta get to the top first. You can grab their ankle and pull them off the mountain.
What?
That's
not very sportsmanlike of
but
you.
But that's the thing. It's not like the Olympics. This is like this fantasy island where it's like only the best will survive, you know. And it's not like Survivor though, but it's like this weird mix of it's very comical and very colorful, very cartoony, and it's fun just but doing all the crazy shit that you can do, like, you know, you're on the jet skis and you do weird flips and stuff to get fans, and the more fans you get, the more money you get. And anyway, but the reason why I keep playing this is aside from beating everyone on that, it just makes a new challenge for me to beat them. After I played it for like I'd say maybe like a good like hour and a half to 2 hours after work one day. I was like, man, that was a lot of fun. And I sit down on the couch. I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to go grab a soda. I get up and I go, ah, oh no. Like, cause you're literally like jumping. Like,
are you sore?
Oh yeah, dude. No, like, cause when you're playing soccer, I was like kicking like full force and I was really sucking at soccer at first.
Football.
How does soccer even work with a Kinect? Like, you can't go that far away. Like, you can't run around.
You can't run around. Like, soccer, because, again, it's not like straight-up sports, like Olympics or whatever. The idea is, like, okay, it's almost like, imagine, picture yourself in the goalie position on a foosball table. And you have the players that represent your team.
Do you have to imagine that there's a bar, like,
you don't have to.
You
know, you don't have to. Like, but there's characters that are staying still, like, sort of holograms, like empty holograms or whatever. And you can plan how you're going to ping-pong it, you know, up to the goal. So then you just kick. You make a passing kick with your foot, like how you would it sort
to
of in reality. Yeah, but when the ball lands there, boom, now you're there. And then you're like, okay, where's the next pass
it's
going to go?
It's more of like a strategy game. Like,
a little bit, yeah.
Where's my next shot? And
you have
get
to
there,
time
like,
it.
Now I have to plan where's my
yeah.
next shot.
And then when you finally get to the last empty hologram, which is right in front of the goal, it's like in a headbutt mode, or it's in like a
you
big
grab him and
kick.
Just throw him somewhere. And just kick
I wish,
him.
But then you get in the final thing. You have to make a big sweeping kick that, and you have to arc it like into the you know into
can
the
you
goal.
Do a backflip kick, whatever that's called. Well, the Kinect
in
register.
Reality, maybe. I'm not going to do it.
We could film
but
it.
But maybe.
You could film you doing
because
it for the first time.
I'm not flipping. No,
I
because
believe in you.
After doing lame bowling, like, I mean, like, I'm just, like, you just do a bowling move where you crouch onto one knee and boom, you just throw it with your hand. And then afterwards, how you spin your hand will be how the ball spins. After doing that for like, oh, I'll do that for 10 minutes. Now tennis. Bong, bong, 10 minutes. All right, now I'm going to do climbing. Oh, I have to jump every now and then. Oh, like, and I'm jumping full force because the higher you jump, the
you're
more.
You're like a ceiling fan.
Well, I didn't know the roof is way higher. I'm not doing it in front of a ceiling.
What if you
fan?
Live in a small Japanese house and you
then
bought
not
for some reason
game.
You got a Kinect?
Then statistically speaking, you're not going to be owning a Microsoft Xbox One.
It's not made for small economical houses. Is
well,
what I'm
then maybe only if you're really short you can play it. but either way, it's like after doing that, I was just like exhausted, and for like the next 3 days at work, I'm like. Just standing up and sitting down. I was like, fuck. And I'm like, wait a minute. I know what happened. It tricked me into exercising. And it's, but even after knowing that, it's still fun to play. So like, I'll be like, all right, I'm home from work for an
even,
hour.
Even though now I know that.
Yeah.
That would be like a big selling point for
yeah,
most
yeah.
people. And you're like, ah, you tricked me, but okay, guess yeah. you're fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's still fun. So like, I'm going to see how long I can keep it up as a workout plan of like the laziest workout
do
plan
people
ever.
People question you on it. You're like, oh, I'm so sore. And someone's like, well, what did you do? And you're like,
well, I was
I
bowling.
Played a lot of video
yeah.
games.
I went bowling and I played tennis this weekend.
Did you play that Fantasia one where you like
the Fantasia one was great, but it didn't like exhaust me like this did. Of course,
they
I was
invite,
trying really
did they
hard.
Invite you out? They're like, oh, you play tennis? Come out with us this weekend. You're like.
I was like, no, I'm a little bit of recovery. Yeah,
I don't have a racket.
You know, yeah,
it's more of a
yeah.
handball.
Yeah.
Thing.
I play tennis with this hand and just smack the Ooh. Ball. Like,
oh, handball.
Yeah. Wall
handball.
Ball. Yeah. But I'm still going to be playing that for a while and trying to see if it helps me get into any shape because it's like, oh, man, I burned 200 calories.
That reminds me a lot of another Xbox One Kinect game called Shape Up from Ubisoft.
Mm-hmm.
We did a thing on it 2 years ago at E3. Because it was the team from Ubisoft that previously had the game that had the most Kinect sensitivity of any other game out there, which was a fitness thing called Your Shape Fitness Evolved. And that was such a formal fitness game, it didn't sell so great, even though the technology was really good.
Mm-hmm.
So they transformed it into this weird cartoon fitness game with Shape Up, where you do all kinds of like insane crap. But it also, it's like that, where it...
Well, like Doug was saying,
yeah, it tricks
you. You have to be tricked into exercising. No one's going to buy an exercise game and then keep playing it.
Yeah, if the exercise game was just a guy...
Like, the halcyon days of Wii Fit are
yeah,
gone.
Yeah. If it was just a guy being like, okay, now do this move. Huh. Now do this for 5 minutes.
Do
I'd be
a
like,
push-up.
No, this is boring. But if you just say, no, you're climbing a mountain. I'm like, oh, yeah. Suddenly it's
there's an eagle on top of
yeah,
that mountain.
Yeah.
There's a golden egg in that nest.
Oh,
you got to get it.
Oh, now
so
Brandon's
crap.
Playing, definitely, if there's an eagle.
Oh, no. No, not only
crack
is there
open,
an eagle.
Get the egg and fight the evil.
You have to to pick like what legion you're part of. There's like, it's like Viper Squad, the Wolf Clan.
Silver monkeys.
And then Eagle Legion.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to pick which one you're going to join, and then you're fighting, competing. Anyway, but other than that game, which is fun, I started playing this game called Sherlock Holmes Crimes and Punishments.
What? This sounds like an S&M game.
This is
an exercise game?
No. This is another Xbox One.
It's like,
no.
Solve the crime. Crawl
on the floor. Look for the piece. I would play an Xbox Kinect Sherlock Holmes game.
Find the clues on the wall. There it is.
But
pugilism.
I would play that.
This is like a game that you, because like Xbox One does these free giveaways every now, like once a month or something like that. They'll give away like free
like
games.
Some Doritos. Oh, okay.
I'm not going to buy Doritos, but like there's free giveaway games, and this is one of them. And I was just out of curiosity. I was just like, all right, whatever. It's free or whatever. It's using the Unreal Engine, so it looks decent enough. And I'm like, I'm playing the game, and I'm like, oh, I kind of see where this it's like a game of like four mysteries, and each one is like maybe hour and a half, and collect clues, you interrogate suspects. It's kind of like LA Noir, but different enough that it doesn't really need to be compared to LA Noir, but like the idea of it's a procedural investigation game. You collect the evidence, you talk to suspects. And I feel like 10 minutes into every mission so far, I'm like, oh, I know who did it. Like,
I mean, this is a Sherlock Holmes game, right?
Yeah.
It should be like really difficult and like cleverly made.
But here's the thing. Like, at first I was a little like, oh, this game ain't that great, because I get like where it's going before it even, before you even talk to the guy who is the actual killer. I'm like the first thing is like, okay, this guy was murdered in a shack in his backyard. And you go out there and you're like, you look at the path, and along the path there's like footprints in the mud, and Sherlock, you look at it and you click to investigate, and Sherlock Holmes is like, this is a very large size shoe. So it's like, this, we're looking for someone of like large stature, and like the guy is killed by someone harpooned him completely through the body and pinned him to the wall. And he's like, oh, okay, someone of considerable strength. And they're like, okay, here's the first red herring character that shows up, and it's like a 19-year-old scrawny boy who's like clearly homeless. He's like, please, I didn't do it! And, Inspector Lestrade is like, oh, thank you, Mr. Holmes, we solved the case. It's clearly he's back to the scene of the crime. And I'm like,
that's really good.
This guy clearly didn't do it. And then you talk to a guy who's like a sailor, who's a harpoonist, who was a whaler, who knew the guy, who wanted revenge. And I'm like, dude, this is clearly the guy. And of course it was him.
I would be like, that's clearly not him, because that's too convenient.
But like, it goes in that direction. But then, like, I started to respect the game a lot, because the more I play it, the more I realize, okay, it's kind of spoon-feeding you, like, clues and stuff.
What was the beginning, right? Like, difficulty level? Like,
I'm in the middle of the second one now, but I already know where it's going. It's like, the second one is like, okay, you're waiting at a train station, and, it's all foggy because it's at night, and you're like, oh, Holmes, we're waiting for the train. It's going to be here any minute now. And you see, like, the light, and you hear the whoo-hoo, the whistle. All of a sudden, it's gone. The light goes out. And you don't even hear the engine of the train.
Oh, it was a ghost train under Manhattan.
Yeah, and that's what they're saying. It's like, oh, it's like a ghost train. It's like a train just vanished and disappeared. And Holmes is like, clearly a train does not just disappear. I'm like, okay, I'm telling you right now, it wasn't a train. It was someone making you think the train was arriving, because a real train was probably robbed.
It's a guy running with a lantern going, woo!
Well, yeah, it was one of those push carts. You pump the thing and the cart
always
goes on the track,
a push cart.
And it's just, there's a lantern on it, and they had like a train whistle that they triggered like separately. And it's like, you find out that there was something really valuable on the train, and it was.
And they stole the entire train.
Well, yeah, well, like they, because the stop before, they made everybody get off the train, and people didn't think that was weird. And then between where you were and where the train was last seen, there's a switch track where it goes off into a different direction, and that leads to a quarry, but the quarry was recently filled up last night because of rain, so I'm thinking the train is down there. So it's like, you can see like where it's going, but the reason, like I was saying, the reason why I started to respect the game is because I'm like, all right, if I sit down and think about it, and I have to write a mystery, how can you make a mystery game where you have to collect the clues and interrogate suspects and make it possible to solve without spoon-feeding it, like without saying, like leaving bits of evidence in plain sight? Like, how can you possibly make it work and not have someone throw their controller in frustration because they don't know where to go?
I want a puzzle game so hard that I throw my controller in frustration. I've done it before.
You're going to want City of Lost Children for the PSX.
Okay. I still have that movie that I haven't seen either.
It's a very good film.
I think you got
it. And a very strange, very hard-to-find video game that is an investigative kind of find-some-items thing. Very difficult. So please enjoy.
Okay. So the Sherlock Holmes game,
unplayable, you might say,
like the ET game. How do you move around, like in like third person, first person, or is it like point and click?
You can actually go between third person and first person, because there's some locations.
So do you have to follow the tracks all the way to the quarry?
Or it'll
be like, oh, go here, and you'll automatically go to the next area.
It's like you have like your detective notebook or whatever, and inside there's different tabs, and there's the tab of the map of the town, and you can just say, take me to that spot.
Did Watson do it?
No.
Did he ever do it?
I don't think so.
Because you know,
and that's the other problem.
You know Watson's behind all
Watson's,
of it.
Watson's Brandon. There with you the whole time, and he serves no purpose other than, Holmes, I don't get it. What are you getting at? Clearly, Watson, this is what happened. Like, I already know what happened because I'm Sherlock Holmes. Now I'm just watching Sherlock Holmes explain what I just discovered to another person who's literally not doing anything.
You do know that that's the whole reason Watson's there, so that he can explain it out loud to someone else.
Right, but if you were playing as Watson, that's a different story. Like, if you're helping him solve the case, but instead you are Sherlock Holmes, as soon as you discover the evidence, you hear Sherlock's inner monologue going, clearly the body was dragged from here to here. And then he's like, Watson, I think I have it. And Watson's like, what do you mean, Holmes? He goes, well, When is a body not a body? And he's like, Holmes, you're losing me again. He's like, when it's not even here. And it's like, God damn it, I already know what the fuck happened.
That would be so great if his inner monologue was nothing like that. And it's like, Watson asks the question. He's like, oh, this fucking idiot. Let me explain everything.
That would be like, great. It made me want to make a Sherlock Holmes game, but then I realized it would have to be like, that's the thing. This is like probably one of the better Sherlock Holmes games out there because I don't know how you can make a Sherlock Holmes style story and not have obvious clues because I am not actually Sherlock Holmes. Like, I wouldn't actually be able to do
this stuff.
These
are like those, I forget the name of the Ace Detective games.
Phoenix
Wright, man.
Well, he's a lawyer.
He's an attorney.
Yeah. Okay, but no, you also do a lot of detective work and interrogate people and find clues. Mm-hmm. And by the last mission or whatever, you find out that every case you've done, even though they don't seem related, are all related somehow.
But that's every great, you know.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I would hope that would happen in the Sherlock Holmes game.
Well, when I get to the end, I'll let you know. Otherwise, it's weird how I'm like, oh, I make it sound really mediocre, but it's done well, and I'm still playing it just to see if I'm right. But then,
is
it's
there
like
a button to just like smoke his pipe or whatever?
No, like, but he does smoke though. But it's but no, not you.
Or it could be like the TV show, and it's a different drug every time.
It is time for some shout-outs to people. We got a couple one-time donations because though we promote our Patreon quite a bit, you can just straight up say, hey, Nerdy Show, I can't give you money every month, but here's some money right here, right now. And we had two people do that, actually, since our last recording. Nev the Deranged said, the interview with Bob Dolman was fantastic. Thank you.
It was a lot of fun.
Bob Dolman,
the guy who wrote Bob Dolman, the George Lucas, Ron Howard sci-fi fantasy, or fantasy epic. Willow.
Mm-hmm. So, guys, let's talk about Donald Trump.
No.
I'm kidding.
No, anyway, I'm fucking sick of that shit. Anyway. And Sean Hutchinson, celebrating this year's leap year, he said, happy leap day. I gave you a hundo on the last one, so let's make that a tradition. Yes,
damn.
Sean Hutchinson gave us $100 the last two leap days.
Damn.
Wow.
That was what, 4 years ago? Is that what leap years were? I can't remember what happened
Sean,
yesterday.
And Nev, thank you so much. Crazy. You guys are awesome. We got some shout-outs from some patrons, because remember, if you give us $10 or more on Patreon, you get a monthly shout-out every single month. So we've got one here from Allison Parent, who says, to everyone attending Anime Boston, come celebrate the convention's partnership with the National Multiple Sclerosis Society and help make the world a better place for those affected by MS. A donation to the Anime Boston charity booth will not only make a difference in the lives of real people, and not anime people, but also give you a chance to win some super cool prizes. I mean, like animated people, 2D style animation.
I know.
Come down to the dealer's room and check out some awesome gifts, rare merchandise, and exclusive art.
That sounds nice.
It does. And if you are at Anime Boston, definitely not only check out the Anime Boston charity booth, and go say hi to Allison for us, but also Wicked Anime are going to be there on site and hosting some panels, so definitely keep abreast of that stuff. Probably Wicked Anime's Facebook page and their Twitter are going to be where you want to go for all the latest details on all that. Thank you, Allison. Thank you again. We also have one from Scott John Harrison, formerly known as Shaded Spryder. And this is sort of in response to our 8-Bit Theater episode. He said, 8-Bit Theater may have helped spawn lots of imitators in the early aughts, but Brian's great writing makes it stand out even today. The horrors his fans may have spawned does not compare to the horrors which spawned from Bob and George, the first Sprite comic, the comic which featured edited Mega Man Sprite characters and spawned thousands of imitator web comics, including my own. A recovering Sprite comic author who has graduated into a pixel artist. Shaded Spryder, now known as Scott John Harrison, because I want to forget my dark past of 2003 to 2009.
Who doesn't?
Congratulations.
Well, thank you for coming clean.
Yeah. We've all been there. We all have internet.
I wanted to make
a
sprite based web comic back in the day too, and then I realized I'm too lazy and have no talent, so screw it. Well, there were plenty of them already.
I kind of did something similar back in the day. How many of you guys are familiar with Pokey the Penguin?
Not at all.
I'm raising my hand. Just I am. Brandon. No, I remember Pokey the Penguin. Is he the one that you know, he goes ice fishing and there's that really crappy theme song? It's like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. And he's like, Pokey the Penguin.
I thought that was Chili.
And then shit. Yeah, sorry. That's Chili.
No.
Sorry.
Pokey the Penguin
was, the fuck is Pokey?
Was a really early webcomic drawn in MS Paint. Super surreal. And I honestly haven't read it in ages. I don't know if it's still good, but I loved it back in the day. And I made bootleg Pokey the Penguin comics. I posted some recently to my Tumblr account, and I guess I'll link those. I picked the good ones because there were some real bad ones, but they're fun. They're fun, weird, weird. And apparently it's still around. They have a Patreon too, it turns out.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I mean, it's old. It's old as dirt, Pokey the Penguin. Like 98, for as web comics go, that's ancient.
Yeah.
98?
Yeah.
Jeez. Was the internet even around?
Shit. Not even really, no.
No smartphones. I think Final Fantasy VII didn't even come out yet, maybe.
No, Final Fantasy VII was out. Anyhow, we've been doing this campaign for a while now of awareness that we need you to rate and review us on iTunes. So iTunes enables people to see our show more if we have more ratings and reviews. So ratings are super easy. You just click... 1 to 5 stars, ideally 5 stars, and we have a stream for each of all of our feeds. So the Nerdy Show Network feed, which has all the shows, and then each feeds for each different show. So I'm making it sound over complicated, but really, you just need to go to nerdyshow.com/spread the word to get the details and links to all of our independent feeds. If you could help us out, it would be amazing. And if you do, we will read your shout-outs here on the show. And each of us have...
Reviews.
Yes, reviews. Yes, we read some reviews on the show. Thank you for it.
No problem.
I'm crossing my wires from all the fan stuff. There's so much. So I got a couple I'm going to read, and you guys all have them as well. This one's 4 a.m. Wake Up Call by Jade Numi. The work week is near impossible for me to get through, mostly because I have to wake up at 4 a.m. I get dressed, start my car, and turn on the place for all things nerdy. So on top of being entertained the first thing in the morning, I'm also wide awake due to laughter caused by these amazing, shiny people. This is my favorite place for podcasts, be it all things nerdy or for a good laugh. Thanks for the many years of happiness. Well, thank you, Jade. Thank you so much for that review.
That's a lot of pressure.
That's not a lot of pressure. You're already doing a good job.
Everyone.
Proven.
Be funny forever.
And and Jade Nami also provided a great review for Call of Cthulhu as well. So if you want to read that, go to the Call of Cthulhu page and then also yourself leave a review. That would be awesome. Great stuff by Deluxe. Came to Nerdy Show after blazing through way too much of another podcast on the network, Friday Night Fan Fiction. This podcast is exactly what I was looking for in terms of lighthearted nerd news without any additional fluff. If you asked me, I'd say we're full of fluff, but hey, it's okay. If we're not, we're just what we need. Awesome. Thanks, Deluxe. What you got, Brandon?
Listen to these guys, !! by Temsu. It's very long, so I'm going to read it, and I'm going to try to speed it up a little bit. The Nerdy Show Network is fantastic for weekly nerd discussion and entertainment. You're looking at around 3 shows a week. Could be current events like gaming and comics, maybe some wicked awesome anime, perhaps something gay and geeky. Or maybe you just want to drink your liver dry while the crew of readers suffer through terrible fan fiction. I didn't read this beforehand. And if you're and if you're really lucky, it'll be an RPG week. Nerdy Show's audio role-playing shows are not to be missed, no matter the topic. I can't express how good the RPG shows are. I can't express how good the RPG shows are succinctly other than to say, go listen now if you have it. But what if I don't like dragons and or Doritos? You like Ghostbusters, don't you, kid? How about Pokemon? How about classic tabletop games like Call of Cthulhu and Paranoia XP? You'll not be able to listen to traditional tabletop recordings after quality productions like these. Stop reading my dribble and go turn on Nerdy Show. All of your quality control paid off, apparently. Just saying. Good job. Production value through the roof, everyone.
That's what we strive for. If you haven't checked out RPG shows, it's never too late. And most of them are on hiatus right now. Actually, all of them are. But they're coming back soon.
They're a lot of work.
They are a lot of work.
Mostly for everyone else here.
Ghostbusters ain't on hiatus. We're in production.
We are in production. That's true.
That's like we've already started.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yes. I mean, it's all currently in production.
Right, right, right.
But it's also not currently, none of them are in a release cycle right now. So there's that. Well, how about you, Doug?
I got one here for just the Nerdy Show Network proper.
Yeah.
This is Something for Everyone by Allison.
Allison Parrott, who we just heard from as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
She says, I started listening to a couple of the shows during my long commute from my long commute to Boston traffic and graduated from casual listener to supporter on their Patreon. There's literally something for everyone of any nerd persuasion, and I urge listeners to give all the shows a try and stick with your favorites, as long as you're... as you'll certainly find at least a couple. The topics are engaging, the hosts are interesting, and the overall sound quality of 99% of these episodes is great. Whether listening through headphones, speakers, or a car stereo system, definitely give them a try.
Thanks, Allison.
Good.
Yeah. Now, those were all 5-star reviews. We did get a 3-star review from a longtime fan.
Oh, no. What did we do wrong?
Well, Bor, why don't you enlighten
us? It's all my fault. I glanced through this one, but I'll go ahead and read it anyway, but literally my fault.
Bor
sucks. This one's for the nerdy...
Dot.
Let me just read it. We're going to get to that part. okay, this is just for the full Nerdy Show Network. Great nerd casting, poor communication. 3 stars by Chief of Stuff. Cameron here, been a fan for a long time since the Blackest Night song Fight. Former Patreon backer. Pros, great podcast pretty much across the network. My top 3, Nerdy Show, Friday Night Fan Fiction, and Epic Podcast. Con, this is pretty much the only bad thing I can say about the whole network. Needs to get better at letting the fans know when shows wouldn't be up in time or are going on a break. Looking at you, Derpy Show. Cap and Bor, you guys really dropped the ball on informing the fans on what was going on with Derpy Show.
Yeah.
That's right, guys. You really dropped that ball.
I feel like we addressed this a lot in the last episode as to what was going on with
I think a lot of the problem
is I keep holding out hope that it's just going to, you know, everybody's going to click again and it's going to come back. But yeah, I mean, it may or may not. I don't know.
Well, you could make something up to make that person feel really bad. Like, you know, my mom just died and guys, I just had
Robo Joe has cancer.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, sorry. No. You know, that, and
he really
like
doesn't. So just don't.
Well, Cameron, I'm sorry. We never wanted to get your hopes up, but we've gotten our own hopes up really for as far as Derpy Show goes.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, sometimes we do drop off. Like, for example, the hiatus D&D is on right now. We didn't expect Dungeons and Doritos to not be releasing episodes following Call of Cthulhu, but a bunch of weird, crazy life hijinks happened. So, you know, here we are.
I mean, part of the problem is that I'm here. I mean,
and there's really, I want to say,
helping out with this. So.
I don't know how many people know, but it's really just like what you two guys like actually editing and producing the entire shows. And when there's so many shows, it takes hours and days. And it's, and,
yeah,
you know, you have other jobs to do.
I don't know if we've told people, but I'm the one that's actually like doing all the editing and the videos and stuff.
Yeah,
simultaneously.
So it's a lot of work.
Yeah,
I'm not helping with it. I don't think you're helping with it.
No.
It's a lot of work for two people to do all of these shows. So
well,
it's ridiculous.
All of these shows produced by Nerdy Show in-house. Not like Epic Podcast, not Wicked Anime.
Right.
But
Derpy Show was also 100% me. So when I shifted over my gaze to help out Nerdy Show, it hurt Derpy Show a little bit, but it wasn't even really happening because, I mean,
mostly you were filling the gap because you were just waiting for the stars to align again for
right.
Derpy Show.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, as I've said before, Derpy Show is kind of a herding cat situation, getting the show to happen and it just hasn't been happening. So.
But one thing we always strive for is that whether or not maybe we make the proper announcements in the proper places, sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't, especially when we don't expect a hiatus to happen.
Right.
But we're always available for communication. If you ever want to get a hold of us, hit us up at info@nerdyshow.com.
Say something on the forum or
Facebook. We're generally attentive on all of our channels. And if not, you can always hit us on another one.
I feel like I've actually answered Where is Derpy Show a few times on the website. So, I mean, I know that wasn't releasing a podcast saying like, hey, it's not coming, but I didn't feel like that was worth producing. So
these things happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks so much, guys, for all the rating and reviewing. It's doing great. It's great work. We've seen all these flood in. It means the world to us. And please keep them coming. If you haven't done it yet, it's super, super easy to do. We've got all the information over at nerdyshow.com/spread the word to tell you how to do all that stuff. And we really appreciate it.
Can I just say that I'm actually kind of glad in a weird way that somebody's pissed off that my show isn't coming
well,
out.
I think it's sort of a huge flattery thing to me.
No, it is, because it's like would be a perfect five, but dude, no Derpy show, three max.
Right, exactly.
It's like, damn.
On one hand, I'm like, shit, I really...
You were worth
but
two
at the
stars
same time,
for it.
Yeah.
You're worth two stars.
I feel really shitty and awesome at the same time. It's
just
a really weird
feed. Well, I don't know if it's instructive. It's feedback.
It's definitely feedback.
And you know, no matter the reviews, even if they're slightly negative.
So hey, are you interested in what I've been doing?
Yes.
No. Yep. Oh, okay.
You went around the table and we didn't get to me yet. Okay. And I even had a really cool transition, but we went into the feedback thing. I was going to say, since we're talking about flailing around in video games, I just ordered the HTC Vive the other, I think last week by the time this comes out. Yeah. And so I've been dropping a lot of bones on VR because I didn't even have a video card that would work with the thing. So I had to upgrade my computer and then buy an $800 headset.
So you're going to be, as far as I know, you're the member of Nerdy Show who is definitely getting into the VR revolution right as it's starting.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be like 3D TVs. It's just going to be gone in a couple of years.
I really hope that it's not.
No, is this the first step, especially with all the money that I've been dropping on this shit. is this the first step to drone racing?
To what?
To drone racing.
Which you were also getting into.
Oh, you can't do that with this kind of VR headset. Wow. You have to have a completely separate unit.
Well, I mean, you can already use a camera mount on glasses.
Those headsets are like $400, and they only have one purpose, and that's just to receive video signals, and they're not even 3D. It just takes a single image and just puts it in front of both of your eyes.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I didn't follow through with the drone racing thing was because I knew that this was going to be really expensive.
No, you made the right choice. It's like you'd think, oh, I don't need depth perception when I'm flying at 100 miles an hour, you know, and it's a scale on this drone through
loops and stuff. A lot of the problem is that it would double the amount of bandwidth that they would have to transmit the video, and then it would double the amount of
I've heard
that they complain when other people's signals like overlap over theirs.
I don't understand. Why don't you just directly connect?
It's all just radio signals. It's not digital, so there can be like crossover and stuff like that. So
you end up if your transmitter, someone else's thing.
Right. Like if your transmitter is too high of a power or something, it'll start bleeding over into other people's video channels.
But if it's a single video channel, it's easier to handle that way. There's less bleed over.
Right. Something like that.
See, I'm confused, Bor. Can't you just directly connect into the drone while you're flying it?
Yeah. And just you can totally
get a
do
direct
that.
Feed. There's no lag and there's no signals.
It would be great if you had a really long cord.
A really long 50-foot, well,
it sounds like you're doing the setup for like a fucking Goof Troop skit. Like,
you know, you're jacking like, you jack into it.
He gets drugged by the drone. Oh, what am I doing? Maxie, help me.
Oh, Goofy.
But anyway, after the Vive gets here, I have a couple of interesting ideas. I hope they're interesting ideas for doing a couple of videos about it, and I'll probably open it up for the network at some point. Like maybe I'll bring it over here and we can set up a thing, let people play around with it.
Can you
something.
Do the nausea challenge?
Like, I'm not gonna stay in it for 48
Don't
hours.
Pee your poop. We'll give you some magic pills that keep your poop inside.
I mean, do you want to come over and be the poop attendant?
Well, I'm gonna feed you pills. You won't be pooping.
Oh, okay.
And then you can sleep in a fake cave.
As we discussed before, that's cheating.
That is cheating.
Yeah,
you gotta
wear
the diaper. Diaper or nothing.
Diaper
or
astronaut
just, yeah.
No, just a bucket with some QR codes on it. So you can see it in the virtual space.
Okay.
That's gonna go wrong. So bad.
But
that's the thing. Okay, you'll see the bucket. You'll see the QR code on the bucket, so it looks like a toilet. But you won't see where the waste is going. So it's like you gotta...
Right, it's more attractive that
you'll
way.
You'll be
able to
smell
it, but you can't see
well,
it.
Well, the Vive does have a camera on it. Like right in the front, and you can pull it up sort of like a cell phone in some of the games where you can see like what's going
world?
On in the outside world.
That's
like
creepy.
Sort of through like a virtual like
that's
window.
Weird. What if you're like someone's broken and they're right in front of me with a oh I'm dead. You're like watching someone break in your house. You're standing in the living room and you're watching someone break in your house.
Well,
you're not moving.
If you hear something that sounds like somebody breaking into your house, or if you smell something like your house is on fire, you can just take the goggles off your head.
You're probably not going to hear. If
I'm
fully immersed in VR, I would like stand still and be like, they can't. I'm in this alternate world. They can't see me. But I'm watching them through this tiny window.
Also, if you take the if if you take the, Vive off, don't you like go into VR shock? I mean, that's a real syndrome. Like you go,
you start having seizures.
No, we can't disconnect him. He has to find the exit in the game.
That's real. That's real. I've seen it on television.
It's
all
like
the time.
Matrix. You're
all
have to call.
Get me out of here. You have to call Brandon. Get out of here. Get me out of here. You got to shut the game down.
I'm in the same room with you, but I don't know what to do. It's locking me out. Try rerouting the encryptions. What does that mean?
Well, do you got any teasers for the kind of those? You said you had a couple video ideas. Any teasers of that? Or is that all going to be cryptic and vague?
Yeah. Well, I don't think any of them are going to star me because I don't react to things in a very animated way. But I know a few females who do, and Robo Joe is actually very easy to freak out. So there's some horror games that I feel like
Spider
I want to
Simulator
stick in
2016.
You know about his arachnophobia. He actually does have arachnophobia.
I assume most people don't like spiders. That's why I just threw that out there.
Spiders.
No, but
spiders
his is particularly bad. Like,
dude, no. I think we need to actually make Spider Simulator 2016 and make it like Oculus Rift. Dude, people would buy that. You tell me you
wait. Would you be the spider like simulating?
No,
you're just in a room and spiders come out.
I just want to point out
in
both,
a room with a spider.
Options,
that's the game.
Both options: being a spider or being covered in spiders. No. Both are horrible.
I imagine
wait, why is being a spider worse?
No,
or like even anywhere near as bad.
Do you want to be can you imagine the like micro horrors of
the only thing I can't wrap my mind around is how
forcibly being raped by a female spider.
No, there was a game.
How would your mind like wrap its head like your own head around having eight eyes? That's the only thing that's really weird to me about spiders.
360-degree vision.
Yeah,
it's
fine.
But
there was
a Japanese game. Probably 15 years ago.
Are you
going to
talk about the mosquito one?
Yes, the mosquito one.
I saw
that. Yeah.
What's the mosquito one, guys?
You land on people and try to bite them.
You are a mosquito, and the goal is you have to land on people without noticing them and getting the blood out of them.
But that wasn't a VR game, was it?
No. This is like 20 years ago.
Well,
there
was VR 20 years ago.
But it could be a VR game.
Yeah, top of the line.
It looked like,
this was like PlayStation 2.
Blockbuster Golf and Games. I remember that VR game.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, we both played it.
But Spider Simulator, you can either be the spider or the human.
That's their tagline. Yeah. Spider or
dude, multiplayer. One person is the human looking for the spider in a room.
Okay, what about this?
And the other people can play as spiders in the room and not getting caught.
What if
this is great?
You're literally in a log cabin with a couch and it says, walk over to the couch and sit. And you do, and it says, simulation begin. The spiders start pouring out.
Yes,
and,
no, yeah, that's and what they talking
could,
about.
They could all be, there could be like 20,000 spiders and they're all real people. Just connect to everyone.
That'd be great.
That'd be like Mag.
Yeah.
In the tutorial, you're a daddy long legs, and you slowly unlock new different kinds of spiders.
Upgrade your spiders to
longer legs.
Now you're a banana spider.
You've unlocked Huntsman.
You've unlocked the wolf spider.
Brown recluse.
Yeah! All right!
I ran into a Huntsman spider
I'm
going to
give
once.
Them flesh-eating... What?
They're so big. Huntsman spiders?
Oh, yeah. I had one in my house one time.
When
it was amazing.
When you squish them, they go...
Don't tell me that sounds
I'm not
horrifying.
Joking. They breathe. They have
I think,
like
I thought that, no, that was just because they were so huge and filled with goo.
They're filled with air. They have huge lungs.
No!
You squish them, they go.
Awful.
I actually had to call Danica.
You were lying.
And come to my place. This was years ago. And kill it because I was in the garage and it was huge. It was like half the size of a bucket. And I'm standing there and I have my phone.
No, now you are lying.
It's nighttime and I just have this.
Why would he admit to this if it was like
no,
not
it's,
true?
It's nighttime. There's this a dim exactly light true. In my basement because that's where the
he just makes
the
up the story that's
no.
totally emasculating.
And I get my phone. I'm like, I call. It's like 10:30 at night. I'm like, Danica. And she's like, what? I was like, there's a spider here. She starts laughing, and I'm like, this is not a
this
fucking
is a nightmare.
Joke. She had to come over and, like, kill it or something.
How did she kill it?
Bring a lighter and your Aquanet.
There was, like, a 2x4 in the garage, and she just started going to town, and I just ran the fuck out. As soon as she arrived, I ran the fuck out the door. She
Why did you
replacement.
Not go get a camera to film Danica with a 2x4 hitting a spider? That would have been amazing.
That was not the time for me to get a
camera.
Because
he didn't
want to
hear the last gasp of the huntsman.
All right. Yeah. If a situation like that ever happens again, just call me also.
Well, it did. It did when we lived together with Mike.
I'll come over and film it.
There was a huge spider mirror once. And yeah. Mike and everyone came upstairs in my room, and it was huge, and I freaked out and ran away, and then my bed was turned over, and like a desk was knocked over, and everyone was trying to kill the spider. It was fucked up.
Tell me, Brandon, when you are alone at night, do you still hear the gasping of the huntsman?
Sometimes I don't go to the bathroom because I feel like I just a an orb of like pulsing spider eggs. I want to make fall
the,
out.
I'm gonna get a photo of you and Photoshop the Silence of the Lambs poster and put the spider on your mouth. It's the gasping of the huntsman.
Nope.
Yes. That's this episode's title. That's the.
I'll make that graphic.
Yeah, that's the graphic for this episode.
Well, speaking of anything else,
Brandon, you got a box there behind you right now.
I have a box. Oh,
yeah. So we have you might remember a few episodes back we did a promotion with Comic Bento, which is a mail order service that sends you graphic novels in the mail every single
month.
It's
a mail order bride service.
In a box. A bride in a
order
box.
A mail.
It could be your waifu.
Could be. And they have different themes every single month. And based on the different themes, send you stuff. Now, we did... It was paid advertisement. We were very clear about that. And we want more paid advertisements because that allows Nerdy Show to make more money. And you might have noticed that hasn't happened. We do still have an active discount code for them, which is Nerdy, so and that's $5 off all new subscriptions, but something different has happened! Something different has happened. They sent us 5 boxes of Comic Bento, and we don't know what they are, and we're going to open one here on the show. Brandon has a very big knife.
I do.
Somewhere. He's sitting on it.
I'm not even kidding. You've been sitting on that this entire show. This entire time.
Feel it.
No.
Touch the warm blade, dog. Touch it.
No.
Feel how warm it is.
No, you see, that's
it's
the thing.
It's like a slice of pizza. That's how warm it is.
I do. I do. Oh, wow.
Because, yeah, dude, you guys, he wasn't just sitting on it.
You're right, Doug. You're right.
Don't do that motion with the knife in my direction.
I don't know if you can get this on camera.
You'd have to lift it up a little bit.
This is a good opportunity for you to tune into the video component of our show. Because Brandon's going to be unboxing this.
Got a cleaver.
If you're listening to the audio, we're going to be talking about it. Now, we're opening this one box to see what it is.
Do I cut towards or away?
You should cut away from you.
We have 4 additional Comic Bento boxes, and we are doing a giveaway based on iTunes reviews. If you've reviewed us any time in 2016 or will review us now, if we like your review, we will send you a Comic Bento box. And we'll get into the details of that later because Brandon has the box open.
Yeah, now this is an example of what you might be getting.
Yeah, we believe all these are the same, but we don't know.
Should I hand these to you so you can like display them and show them?
Maybe because I might know.
Well, you'll know what they are. I have no idea.
This is like got some heft to it.
They're very heavy.
Yeah. Now they.
Do you want the cleaver? The warm. It's a warm cleaver.
Why don't you just keep that warm?
Sharp, fancy fingernails. All right. So let's see. Comic Bento.
Slapped by a cleaver.
They have a theme like every time, like I mentioned. And this month's Cloak and Dagger box examines spies and espionage inside real life events and countries, as well as those that work under the cover of darkness for themselves, not a government. After all, a spy's sense of loyalty is paramount because no one is treated with more scorn and considered more dangerous than a spy who's turned. And that's just one of like quite a extensive bit of information here. Let's see what we got. We got a hardback book called The Coldest City by Sam Hart, which I've never heard of, but it looks like a pretty sweet black and white indie sort of book here. It's written by Anthony Johnson and illustrated by Sam Hart. Okay, that's what we got. As communism collapses and the Berlin Wall crumbles, an undercover MI6 spy is killed while carrying priceless information, a list containing the name of every spy in Berlin, but no list is found on his body. That sounds awesome. I'm gonna pass this around.
I feel like that's the plot for Mission Impossible.
Then we have a little bit of fictional spying. We have Unity, one of the Valiant event books. Or this is actually Unity is Valiant's Avengers, and Valiant is a really cool comics company. They used to exist a long time ago, and they've been reborn the past several years. They're actually exploring some film stuff soon. I'm really excited to see what happens with that. So that's awesome. This is written by Matt Kent, who is one of the modern-day all-stars. Next, we got a book I've never heard of called Hit List, which looks like a traditional kind of spy thriller derivative James Bond kind of piece. This is put out by Zenoscope, which probably means there's going to be some boobs in it. That's kind of their that's kind of their thing.
Really?
Zenoscope is known for Cheesecake Comics, though I got to say, flipping through this actually looks like a genuine action movie kind of film, not all exploitive, though I did see a pole dancing scene, though there was no nudity. So there's that. And then finally, and this is pretty cool, a volume of The Shadow. In fact, volume 1 of Dynamite's The Shadow. And this isn't just any run on The Shadow. This is Shadow written by Garth, Punisher, Preacher, Innes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
You can't. This
so,
is
this so. This is new. It's not the old original Shadow.
Yeah. This is a recent. This is recent. This came out several years ago, but it's. I haven't actually read it, and I bet it's awesome because Garth Ennis has never written a bad book in his life. I'm pretty sure.
I'm just saying that movie was great. The Shadow knows. Alec Baldwin, thanks.
So we think that that's what's in each and every one of these boxes here, and we want you to have those. So just say something complimentary to us. Now, if you we have to do a formal submission process because obviously we need your address in order to send you these boxes. So if you want to formally enter into the giveaway, in order for us to do that and make sure that we have your contact information, your email address, and then we can actually ask you for your physical address. You don't have to give out your physical address right away. Just as long as we have some way we can contact you. Review us on iTunes. Let us know what feed you reviewed, and we will check it out, enter it in the running, and then in about a month and a half time, we will send out. Let's just do a month. A month's time, so you gotta act now. Be fast. Strike like lightning, and we'll send four lucky people a comic bento box. And then maybe you'll get your own subscription and use the code NERDY to get $5 off.
God, I wish I read. I might get one.
Well, you can sample these here.
I might.
So, yeah. So that's a thing.
I wish I liked this stuff. Then I would really like it.
I wish I liked books. There's, you know what? There's no birds on any of the covers.
Well, maybe someday they'll do Bird Month, and then you'll have a book of birds. Which you have many of already. I don't know. Anyway, we have all the information at nerdyshow.com/bento giveaway. So if you need information on kind of a recap of all the crap I just spewed out, well, it's all there online. Very simple. So yeah, there's that. In other news, I just saw Zootopia.
What's Zootopia?
That's the Disney animated movie. That came
oh,
out.
That was that's out already.
Is it Disney?
Just
is that the one with the really funny trailer with the sloths and the rabbit?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, how was it?
It was so good. It was great.
Oh, damn.
And to answer your question, yes, it was Disney, not Pixar.
Okay.
So, in fact, the director of Wreck-It Ralph, or the co-director of Wreck-It Ralph, was also co-director for this film.
Interesting. I saw an interesting statistic on it, that there were more hairs on one individual animal than there were on all of the characters of Frozen combined.
Wow.
Like, that's just, like, the difference in the computing power.
Dude, this movie was great, but visually, it has to be the most complex CGI film ever made.
It didn't look that complicated when I saw the trailer, but I mean,
what about it was like really complex?
The level of detail in every scene is baffling. I'm talking about locations, the like down to like minute details on the ground and so on. To they fill like it's a living city. They fill every scene with not just like bland things in the background, but I'm talking about unique character designs all over the place. This was felt like a living, breathing place filled with people. It was a metropolis.
Hmm.
Should I see this movie?
I would highly recommend it. It was a lot of fun.
Are there birds in the movie?
No, there aren't actually.
None.
There's only mammals.
What?
Who
delivers the mail?
But they
that's a great question.
Or the babies.
Fox delivers. Yeah.
Or the babies. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I saw what looked like a trailer for, well, it was a trailer, but for what looked like a terrible fucking movie called Storks.
What? Wow. It's just a movie. Is it a Pixar?
Speaking of delivering
Disney,
babies, what? That was actually way too convenient of a transition.
Yeah, it looks awful. And it's like, you know,
Is it Disney or Pixar?
No, it's neither, man. It's
DreamWorks?
It's one of the fucking third party things, you know, like
the Fox.
They're either great or they're awful.
Wait, I think I saw this show. It's literally about storks delivering babies.
Yes.
Never seeing it. Goodbye.
It looks
I don't
terrible.
Care.
Pixar already did that short film, Partly Cloudy.
But that was with a chance of meatballs.
No. It's just partly cloudy, and it was about it was about. here's the thing. You know, let's do a movie about animated storks delivering babies. You already get it. Done. Right. The short film, Partly Cloudy. It was like, wait a minute, where did the storks get the babies from? That's what that was about.
What is there like a volcano filled with babies bubbling up, and they just dive in and pull them out?
Not quite. What it is in the short film is that the storks go up to the clouds, and the clouds like. From below, it's just a cloud, but on top, it's like the cloud is like alive, like from a torso up, like the genie from Aladdin. And the storks come up there. No, it's actually really good. The storks come up and they land on the cloud, and they're like, "All right, give me the child." And the storks, the clouds take other clouds like cotton, and they mold it together, and they make the baby, and they give it to the storks, and storks take it down to the parents.
This is what I'm picturing: the storks fly above the clouds. there is a giant pregnant woman.
No, no,
bigger
no,
than a
no,
building.
No, 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 no.
It's the Venus of Willendorf.
And a prolapsed vagina comes no. out. And a baby,
no. Why does it have to be
no.
prolapsed?
Crawls into the end, grabs a baby, and says, thank you, mother baby, and flies off. And the thing's just like a giant lady.
No.
It's actually, it does sound like you're talking about the Venus of Willendorf. That's
I don't know what that is.
You do in your primal mind.
All right.
The short is really cute. It's funny, and it's great. And there's no dialogue in it. It's like in true classic short Pixar
fashion. Are there babies crying?
There may have been. No, they may have been. Because the point of the story is it's like you see how that world works within like 10 seconds. And you're like, okay, I get it. What now? But the story, which is it's really short, is about the little storm cloud that's like down below the others. And he's not like the others. The others are bright, happy clouds. He's kind of like the storm cloud. So he's like out of place. And everything he tries to make just ends up getting fucked up. So it's like... So it's like everyone's making happy babies and puppies, and then his stork, which looks kind of ratty. No, his stork, which flies up, which is like I guess paired to him, is like supposed to be with this guy. The stork is all like ratty, and it's like clearly has a huge struggle. Is always trying his best, and you're like, why is this one look so ratty? Why is he not happy to get to work? And the dark rain cloud is like, oh, okay, like he's gonna try really hard. He tries really hard, uses lightning, and he zaps something to life. And it's like a crocodile baby. And at first you're like, and it's like, oh, it's cute. But the crocodile baby just bites the shit out of the stork. It's like, ah, but he has to take it down to earth. So it beats the shit out of him every time. And then he's like, okay, let's make something else. And like the next one looks like a cute little like lamb. It looks like a little lamb. And but before the clouds, you know, dissipate and you see what it really is. It's like, oh, it's like a little round
it's
lamb
a
with
skeleton.
Little four legs. No. So the stork puts his arms around it, ready to catch it as soon as it comes out. But then as soon as it blinks into reality, it's actually a porcupine and all of the spikes are already through his hands. Like, ah! And he has to like put it in the thing.
I like the idea that there's a cloud so terrible that literally it could be like a half melted fetus with like a skeletal arm falling out of the cloud.
They probably had to
deliver this.
They probably had to have him stop making humans because of that.
Brandon Garrison, everyone.
What? That's what I picture.
But either way, it's been done and it's cute.
So Zootopia.
Yeah, so Zootopia.
Fuck storks. Yeah, Zootopia.
Wait, we need Doug to give us the entire plot of something else that he's watched first.
No. That was not the entire plot. But anyway, go ahead.
Jesus. Zootopia, man, it surprised me in a lot of ways. I thought I'd only seen a couple trailers, but I thought I knew the story. I didn't know the story. It is a city of only mammals, and they do reference the term mammal in the film, so clearly they're aware of other species, but they don't happen to live in Zootopia, so there's kind of options
there. Oh, I
think
the sequel, there's going to be a war with like the cold-blooded
reptiles.
The actual point of conflict is that they're an evolved society where predator and prey live together, but the reality is that in Zootopia, which is this like the center point of where that pact was formed and everything hundreds of years ago, I guess, there's still a struggle between predator and prey. There's still a schism there. So the main character is a rabbit who's, one, there's never been a rabbit police officer before because no one like respects rabbits. They don't let them, a small animal, you know, work amongst, you know, big, tougher animals like water buffaloes and rhinoceroses and all that. And so she's got to struggle to prove herself in that respect. And it actually ends up being about racism in a lot of ways and and class and like you know, if someone, you might say someone grows up in the ghetto.
So it's discrimination, like class discrimination.
Yeah, but though it's not, it's weird because it's like class discrimination, except that it isn't in the film, in the context of the film, isn't class discrimination. It's species discrimination, but it plays out
like
class discrimination.
You're a bunny, you don't get to be a police officer. You have to do these other jobs.
Right, and there's a character who's like a scam artist, and he talked about how he wanted to be something more, and you see a flashback, and that was taken away from him, and he's like, and then eventually I thought, well, if that's what they want me to be, then that's what I'm going to be.
Is the scam artist a fox or a weasel?
He's a fox.
A fucking man. Knew it. But was it a fox from the trailer?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was like, you're like, yeah, you knew fox it.
You saw
or
the
a weasel.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was really cool, and there's just, I mean, you can just watch it for I could probably watch this film 7 times and see different stuff, like multiple different things all the time. There's lots of weird in-jokes. There's a couple digs at Frozen. There's a Breaking Bad reference.
You guys want to make meth?
Okay. it was great. Like, I had a great time.
I'll
really
see it.
Surprised me.
What's that? Do you know the main character's name? Out of curiosity.
I think
female
Judy?
Bunny.
Judy Hopps.
Judy or Lola? Bunny.
What do you
asking.
Mean?
Oh, between the two of them?
This is a question for Cap and I.
Judy is a more appealing character than Lola. Lola was pretty one-dimensional in both of her incarnations, in both Space Jam and that Looney Tunes television show. So, I mean, more interesting in the television show, but still
not
likable.
And Judy quite literally is three-dimensional.
That's true. Though she was in Space Jam. No, she wasn't in Space Jam. Never mind.
Judy was in Space Jam?
No, saying Judy Hopps is a three-dimensional character. Oh,
okay. Judy Hopps is a compelling, fun, neat character who I liked a lot. And I really hope there's another Zootopia. Like, it was like, I like this, like, this is like Lethal Weapon for kids. I can...
Okay.
You know what the world needs? A Lethal Weapon for kids. I think that was called Lethal Weapon 4.
Or 3 as well, as soon as Joe Pesci entered the picture, but hey.
He's been in it since 1.
No.
Joe Pesci saved him in the first movie.
No,
they
saved
Am
him
I wrong?
Like, no, they yes. saved him in like number 2.
Yeah, or, man, or 3. Whatever, man. Mel
Did Gibson. You hear about the Zootopia spinoff movie that they announced?
Is this real?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's based in another city nearby Zootopia, and it's got bananas and strawberries and anthropomorphized various kinds of fruit. It's called Fruitopia.
I hate you so much. I hate you. I knew that was coming. This is not okay.
If I could punch you from here.
Would you like this cleaver?
I can throw the cleaver.
For some reason, in other countries, they called it Zootropolis.
Yeah, isn't that weird? I think maybe the Utopia doesn't translate so well as Metropolis, which, of course, the famous Fritz Lang German film, Metropolis. I don't know.
Whatever.
Hey, man, Demolition Man, it's Pizza Hut, not Taco Bell internationally.
Yeah, that's true. Brandon, you watched an international version of Demolition Man
recently.
Not
by choice. All right, well, if any of you haven't seen Demolition, I know this, we're just randomly
switching
topics.
Wait, it's not Taco Bell?
No. If any of you have never seen Demolition Man... First off, the reason it's an amazing movie with Rob Schneider and Sylvester Stallone
like, that's
and Sandra Bullock.
The first
Bullock.
Thing you name is Rob Schneider.
Dude, Rob anyway. Schneider's in that movie?
Yeah. It's like, you know how Judge Dredd has Sylvester Stallone and Rob Schneider? This is
they
Sandra
were a duo.
Bullock. This is Sylvester
Wait,
Stallone.
He was actually in that movie? I don't remember
yes.
him at
yeah.
all.
Yeah. He's the other main character. Yeah. But in Judge Dredd, it's more like Sandra Bullock and Sylvester Stallone and Rob Schneider's there. Anyway, she didn't know the reference to the three seashells, so I said, oh, hell no. Procured the movie somehow over the internet. And turned out every time there's a scene in the movie where there's like, they talk about the great franchise wars and only one restaurant survived and it was Taco Bell. And I was watching it and they're like, oh man, I can't wait to go to Pizza Hut. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? Did he just say Pizza Hut? And I was like, and I paused the movie.
Supposed to be Taco Bell.
I went online and when they filmed Demolition Man, which was like early 90s or something.
Yes, early 90s.
They made at the same time an alternate version with Pizza Hut. They didn't do this later, so that when it was filmed or showed internationally around the world, people would understand what Pizza Hut was.
Nobody, why not just make it Pizza Hut?
Nobody
then for
knew
the
what Taco
version.
Bell. I guess Taco
Bell probably
was
paid
more,
them
more popular here.
But they're both
owned
by
the
same
company.
Company.
They're the same parent company, but I think they already filmed it, and then later they're like, oh shit. Well, internationally, no one knows who Taco Bell is, so they refilmed some of the scenes. They redubbed it, and then they just like superimposed really crappy floating Pizza Hut signs over
that doesn't
some of the
sound
top
like
of the
they filmed it.
Yeah, but that wasn't. That was.
I mean, like they looped it. They added.
Yeah,
they added,
yeah,
the,
they added
a dialogue.
Right, you know what
later.
I mean? Yeah, they didn't reshoot the scene. They put more audio and. Damn. Yeah. Anyway, that was a weird rant I went on, and I just wanted to say, three seashells. She now knows the reference. So
cool. Yeah. Well done. Well done. And that's all the time we got, guys.
But there's so much more I can talk
about. I know. There's so much more I want to talk about too. But I guess we'll tune in next time,
okay.
2 weeks from now, when we do our usual recap of all kinds of pop culture stuff.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Hey. I got one last thing to say. And
is it another Fruitopia joke?
Oh, is it?
Made from the best stuff on Earth. Wait, is that Snapple? Sorry.
They actually, Snapple. Fruitopia, you may have noticed or not noticed,
doesn't exist
anymore.
There's a machine somewhere that still functions. I'm just saying, there is one.
I believe it. I believe it. You never know. Internationally, all kinds of things happen, as proven with Demolition Man.
Well, it's not called Fruitopia internationally.
But hey, guys, remember, rate and review us on iTunes. That would be amazing. If you shop on Amazon, go to nerdyshow.com/Amazon. You can shop on Amazon and help support the show, which would be totally cool. And if you go to nerdyshow.com/spread the word, we've got all kinds of details at nerdyshow.com/support on how to do, how to rate and review on iTunes and how to support the show if you are so inclined, if you got some money to spare and like what we do. Now, taking us out, we've got a track, a brand new track from Lemon Demon. And this guy, I knew of him. I knew of him. You probably know of him too, but maybe we're not aware. His real name is Neil Cicierega, and he's the guy behind Potter Puppet Pals and the Ultimate Showdown of Ultimate Destiny.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Some old school internet jams. Now, he's been going by the moniker Lemon Demon for a while, but this is his first full record since 2008. I'd heard his songs. He was all right. You know, I like him. Sure, why not? Played him on Nerdy FM, but this new record is amazing. I have been listening to it nonstop since it came out. To me, maybe you'll disagree, but to me, this is like Oingo Boingo and 10cc in the 21st century. Like
I understood what one of those things means. Was.
Well, there's
10cc is really slow for like a go-kart.
You're not familiar.
We're talking about like medical terms, like it's 10
milliliters.
You're not
familiar with the band 10cc?
No.
No.
Dreadlock Holiday from Snatch. And, I mean, a slower song, but that song I'm not in love.
I'm familiar with Snatch.
Godly
but not...
and Cream? Cry?
Sorry. I know Oingo Boingo.
You know.
Sure. Let's go with Oingo Boingo then. And look up 10cc. How about the pilot episode for Super Jail?
Oh, yeah, I've seen Super Jail.
The song in the pilot episode for Super Jail they opened with was 10cc.
I can't remember that, but no. I will take your word for it. Oh, wait, did they do the opening song for every episode?
Just the pilot. And then afterwards, they kind of took that style and
okay,
made their own song.
Okay, I think I remember that now.
Anyhow, Lemon Demon, this new record, Spirit Phone, is great. I love it. Maybe you won't love it, but I love it. Wanted to play a track off of it. This is called Soft Fuzzy Man, and it's about being hit on by a ghost, or possibly a sentient mist.
I may have some ethical problems with that.
Hey, girl, you ever been hit on by a sentient mist?
I'm more into slime girls, so, you know. Yeah.
That's all girls.
Well, Frankenstein girls are strangely sexy.
What? Did Cap just make an MSI reference?
MSI are fucking amazing. Why wouldn't I make an MSI reference?
Wow. I never imagined that we would have like an overlap of
guys.
Things
let's
that
have an MSI.
To.
Let's have an MSI conversation and conversation about the left rights. Can we do that?
Oh man, you know the left rights. Left rights are even better than MSI in my book.
Station wagons are my favorite things
because they're made up wood paneling.
God.
Woo! Thank you so much for listening. Bye. I'm Cap.
Bye. I'm Doug.
I'm Boar.
Bye. I'm Brandon.
Tonight, you don't know.
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow to find out how you or your company or your big brother's company or your dad's company or like some guy you know could underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming. Visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. Get in on that action. Get a slice of this pie. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, or other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com and be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, they've got it covered.
How did you keep that up? You sounded like a rat.
Yeah, what
gangster,
were you channeling?
No. You guys, again, I've mentioned this before. That was, whether you intended it or not, that's Rizzo from Midnight Cowboy, who was the inspiration for Rizzo the Rat on the Muppets.
Rizzo the Rat's more high pitched like this.
Yeah, yeah, because he's a rat.
Yeah,
yeah. That was Dustin Hoffman as Rizzo. Congrats.
Yeah, how did that theme go?
It's like, calling all nerds all over the world. This is the place where your voices get heard, where the young cool rule and the geek is chic. Nerdyshow.com. Set your inner nerd free.
Stuck my D.
Stuck my D.
I like that.